preached this message a long time ago, and just kind of dropped in my heart tonight. Preached this morning in chapel service, just a little bit, not on this message, about being disciples. And if anybody wants a copy of that, I'll give you a copy of that too. That was pretty good this morning. Amen. Those who were in chapel service, I trust they enjoyed it, but you know, God's called us to be disciples, church. And Jesus gave us the criteria for being a disciple. And he said, if you continue in my word, then you will be my disciple. And so it's not enough to, basically this is a little synopsis, it's not enough just to say there is a God. It's not enough to say you believe in God. But if you want to become part of the family of God, you've got to come to that place where you're ready to become that disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that follower of Jesus Christ. And that's where, you know, when James said, faith without works is dead. Because if I say I believe in God, but yet I don't live for God, then really my faith is not what it really is supposed to be. Because true faith brings change. Hallelujah. In Malachi chapter 3, verse number 1 tonight, it says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. You may be seated again tonight. I simply want to preach on suddenly. Suddenly. Just means a happening or a coming that's unexpected, not foreseen, or prepared for. Suddenly, kinfolk come to visit. Suddenly, the in-laws are knocking on the door. Where does your mind go? I know where my wife's goes. About everything she's been wanting to pick up, clean up, and straighten up. That's where my wife's mind goes. I don't know. All right, here's another one. Suddenly, the pastor knocks on the door. That's always really a funny thing sometimes. I have went to visit people. I've knocked on the door, and it sounded like they were knocking down things. And things going on inside that house. And you're standing at the door. You're hearing all this. And then when they open the door, they just smile. Oh, so good to see you. Oh, my. Suddenly. You're kind of getting the picture. Suddenly is something that we may try to prepare for, but we're not really just suddenly. I mean, it's just a suddenly, you know. How many's ever been startled? Was it because something came and it came to you slowly? I'm moving this cord out before I trip over and fall down. When you get scared, it's not because somebody said, okay, I'm sneaking up on you now. I'm getting closer now. I'm about 2 feet away now. Here I am. I'm a foot away. Boom. That really scared you, right? No. It's when somebody suddenly, it's there. You're not ready for it. And woo, I've seen fire in people's eyes when suddenly comes along. Praise God. So suddenly, just to give you an idea, suddenly. So here in Malachi, and I don't have the scripture here, but in my mind's eye, I'm just kind of looking all the way to the book of Revelation, where Jesus says, behold, I come quickly. And here in Malachi, it says, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, this is a statement of the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a statement of the reality of God coming on the scene and coming to the temple. Suddenly. You see, when Jesus Christ came into this world, it was done suddenly. And I don't have this scripture in my notes tonight because it really doesn't pertain to what I'm trying to get across. But when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the angel came and began to proclaim to the shepherds, and then suddenly, you know, most of the time we get excited about that. It's Christmas time. It's coming up. But do you realize that the angels were always there? Woo! In other words, they just suddenly appeared. They didn't suddenly show up. Praise God. They were already there. They were, I mean, Christ was being born. Heaven was there. Woo! Glory to God. But suddenly, glory to God. My. Wouldn't you like to have been a shepherd boy that night? Amen. Hallelujah. What a sight to see. But you see, it doesn't stop there. Notice that there's coming preparation. See, suddenly still takes you by surprise, even though you know it's coming. How many times have you been startled and you knew it was coming? You knew it was coming. So suddenly, he said, I'm going to send my messenger. He's going to prepare the way before me. Notice the terminology. God is speaking for himself. Behold, I will send my messenger. He shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. That was a promise of the coming Messiah. In the book of Malachi, 400 years before Jesus was born, give or take. 400 years of silence after Malachi. But he said, suddenly, he's coming. So the promise of God has always been suddenly. Suddenly, he will come. You see, I'll just preach on here. We'll get to the end. I don't want to get to the end before it's time to get to the end, because then you won't get the in-between. And I want you to have the in-between, too. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, because really to me this is kind of exciting, because this is why we should live every day to its fullest. Every day to its fullest. Hallelujah. We got to be honest. We don't live every day to its fullest. Sometimes we just don't feel good, and we don't live that day to its fullest. But we've got to realize Jesus is coming, and it's going to be sudden. Even though we know he's coming, but it's still going to take us by surprise. Not unaware, but by surprise. We're looking for it, but it's still going to startle us when it happens. We're still going to go, is this really it? Wow, and it will be. Glory to God. And so, suddenly, see, there's always preparation. Think about that. There's always preparation before God does something. Don't you think about that? Always preparation. He said, I'm going to send a messenger to prepare. Okay, now let's go to Acts chapter 2. Jesus Christ had told the disciples, go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. He had told them the Comforter is going to come. He had told them the Spirit of Truth is going to come. Go tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And in Acts chapter 2, verse number 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Stop right there. Don't do the next one. Up your head. Roll. You stop it. Good job. Preparation. They were told to go tarry in Jerusalem till they be endued with power from on high. They went. They tarried. They prayed. They worshiped. They read the Word. They studied the Word. They were there trying to do what they were told to do because they had been given the instructions to go there, tarry, wait till He comes. Preparation. But still yet, now verse number 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as the rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Suddenly He showed up. They knew He was coming. But do you think they were really ready for the sound of a rushing wind? The wind blows pretty hard around here. You don't think it does? Go on a windy day up to Jason's house. And the wind just really, really whistles and blows through trees and around the houses. And the wind can really blow. And it blows harder other places. I understand that. But you got to realize they're in the house. They're in a place inside. And they're praying. They're waiting. I have no idea what they're waiting for. Other than the Spirit of God's coming. The Spirit of truth's coming. The Comforter's coming. Then you got to put yourself here. Who's the Comforter? What's the Comforter? Who's the Spirit of truth? You reckon He's from over in Damascus? You reckon? You got to realize, they knew not what was about to happen. They were told, but they didn't fully comprehend. But yet, here they are in their prayer meeting, in their Bible study, or in their time of fellowship. I'm not for sure. We just know there was 120 gathered together in one mind, one accord, in an upper room, and suddenly the wind began to blow inside the house. Ooh, I enjoyed Sister Bethany's testimony about what God allowed her to see to help her and encourage her. Hallelujah. Praise God. Yes, suddenly, there came a sound. Where'd it come from? It says there came a sound from heaven. That means it was a sound like they'd never really heard before. And they had to attribute it to heaven because it wasn't anything from earth. Woo. Hallelujah. Of a rushing mighty wind, it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. You see, preparation is being made. They just kept praying. They just kept reading. They just kept doing what the Lord told them to do. And as they were doing this, suddenly the Spirit of God came into place. Now, I've read different commentators describing what is trying to be expressed here and the reality of the fire was not an uncommon thing for the children of Israel because they knew that it was a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. They knew that while Moses was on, or while Elijah was on the mountain and in the cleft of the rock, there was wind, there was earthquake. There was all kinds of things. But God was after the emphasis of, when I speak, that's what I want you to move. Not that I can't make an earthquake, not that I can't make the wind blow, not that I can't make all these things a fire, but what you need to know is I speak. Of course, all through the New Testament, he that hath an ear, let him hear, not see. Let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Suddenly. Isn't it always wonderful when suddenly the Spirit of God speaks what I need to hear? So Sometimes it's the preacher. Sometimes it's the testimony. Sometimes it's a song. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's a message in tongues and interpretation. But suddenly God shows up and speaks just what I need to hear. Suddenly. Whether it's to lift me up, encourage me, press me forward, or whether it's to pull me down and humble my heart, suddenly, he'll show up. Suddenly, they were filled with the Spirit of God because God showed on the scene just like he said he was going to do. But it's always suddenly. It's always suddenly. Acts chapter 9, you know the story well, probably. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings. Verse number 1. And slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest. You know, I'm sure there was mixed emotion. We'll stop right there for a moment. I'm sure there was mixed emotions about this man named Saul. I'm sure you've had mixed emotions about people. I'm sure there were some Christians that were praying, God, kill this man before he kills all of us. And then some were probably praying, Lord, save this man because he would be a great Christian if he could just turn around. You know, I'm sure they were thinking all kinds of things about this man because right now he was a very evil man. He was a very malicious man. And he hated Christians with passion. And he desired letters from the high priest, verse number 2, and he desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, speaking of followers of Christ, believers, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Here it is again, church. And suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee. Thou must do. Once again, back up a little bit, there was preparation. Go back. A little ways back, you find a young man by the name of Stephen standing with great boldness, passion, and love for those he was speaking to. And he is preaching to them the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is infuriating his congregation. But he's standing there and he starts talking about, I see heaven open and I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Wow. Mind you of anything. Moses. See, we have a great high priest. We have an intercessor whose hands are always good. For us. For us. Preparation. God's dealing in this heart. God's dealing in this man called Saul. He's watching Stephen. He's not throwing the stones. He's just the one that stirred it all up. He's the one that got everybody mad enough to throw the stones. He didn't have to throw one. He was a manipulator. He knew exactly what to do to get all those men stirred up to where they'd start killing that young man. And here he is standing, saying, I see the heavens open. I'm just presuming in my mind just about that time the glory of God probably started coming. And if Moses' face shone when he was face to face with God, there's no reason why Stephen's couldn't have shown either. I don't know that for sure, but I guarantee this one thing. He had a smile on his face. Because he was not in distress, and he was not in fear, but he was in power. Hallelujah. and I, you know, whatever transpired to him and however it happened to him, when he went down praising God. Ooh, hallelujah. And here's Saul of Tarsus watching every bit of this, trying to get some gratification about bringing damage to this young man and dishearten this young man and discourage this young man, and it even killed him. The reason I believe he killed him is because he couldn't discourage him. He could get him afraid. He couldn't do anything to him. And that's what made him so mad, because he was a manipulator. He knew in his mind, he thought, if I press this boy hard enough, he'll buckle. Preparation's what I'm talking about. And then, suddenly, glory. Your labors are not in vain, church. Your testimonies are not in vain. Your living for Jesus is not in vain. Everything you do for the kingdom of God is not in vain. Your light shining is not in vain, because you do not know the ones watching you what it's doing to them in preparation. Woo, hallelujah. What it's working in their heart, working in their soul, working in their mind. You have no idea. There is no one that had any idea that Saul of Tarsus that day was going to turn to Jesus Christ. It was the farthest thing from their minds. But because Stephen was standing strong, because Stephen was preaching the word, because Stephen was lifting up Jesus Christ, because Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost, because Stephen's light was shining, preparation was being made in this man, Saul of Tarsus, and suddenly, Jesus come on the scene, and a man was saved, changed, transformed, and pulled out for the glory of the kingdom of God. You see, that all sparked, I believe it 100%, with Stephen. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That means it was hard, it was heavy, and it was in torment inside of you. So press on, child of God. Press on. Dive deeper into the kingdom of God. Step higher into the kingdom of God. Get full of the Holy Ghost in the kingdom of God. Let your light shine for the kingdom of God, because that is going to be preparation for somebody's suddenly. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 16, verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, Sister Holly made a statement while they were here and that night that she was sick and had to stay out in the trailer. She said, "Do you all realize that I could hear you out there in my trailer?" Praise God. Turn it up a little louder. Maybe it'll go. See, we're not the only ones hearing this. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing what happens when you hear something going on, Brother Shelton? Hallelujah. And what God can do. They hear what God's doing. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. And here we are, midnight. It's only 8:20. We got a long ways to go. You want suddenly? It didn't come till midnight. Oh, no, wait, back up. Retract. That was a joke. But it was a reality. And here they are. These prisoners. The word's done been. You know how bad news travels fast. Everybody in that prison. Hey, did you hear about those believers? Did you hear? Yeah, they're in the deepest part. Do you hear that they beat them? Do you hear that they cast out a devil? No. Hey, what are you all talking about? Hey. play that game called gossip? Not in real life. Surely you didn't gossip in real life. I'm talking about the game. You start it, and then by the time it gets to the end, the whole story's changed. And really, it's not on purpose. It's just a game to show you really what gossip does and how things just always get turned around. And that's why it's best just to be quiet and worship God instead. Hallelujah. But here they are. They're praying now. They're singing, and the prisoners heard them. Preparation. Once again, they're worshiping. They're praising God. They're praying. They're singing. They're not expecting God to show up just like he did. They were already experiencing the Holy Ghost of God. They were already experiencing the joy of suffering for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They were already happy. They were already doing fine now. Hallelujah. Everything now was for the cause of Christ. They weren't worrying about their pain. They weren't worrying about their beating. They weren't worrying about what was going to happen tomorrow. All they were worrying about is God, hallelujah, right in the depths of a prison, and suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loose. Not just Paul and Silas. Everybody in that prison, their door flew open. Fell off their feet, off their hands, wherever they were. They're standing there or sitting there totally in shock. See, there was preparation. I hope you're getting this. You see, everything we do as a child of God is preparation. Preparation for suddenly. For suddenly. Your prayers are preparation for suddenly. Glory. Glory to our God. And Paul and Silas brought salvation to those men. See, the Bible doesn't tell us that the people in the prison got saved. But it does tell us that the jailkeeper and his family got saved. Not only did he get saved, he took Paul and Silas home, and he put medicine on their wounds. He helped them out. But you can rest assured there was a multitude in that prison who were still sitting there. The door was open. The chains were off. But they wasn't about to go out. Would you? Suddenly. And they knew it was because of Paul and Silas. Suddenly. I'm going to close with this next one. Mark chapter 13, verse 34 says, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. At even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Wow. You see, Jesus gave a promise, gave an instruction to the reality, "I'm coming back. I'm coming back. And I'm coming suddenly." That means we know he's coming, but we don't know exactly when he's coming. And so that's why we've got to engage in the preparation process. That's why we've got to engage in God's word. That's why we've got to engage in worshiping God. That's why we've got to engage in being full of the Spirit of God. That's why we've got to engage into evangelism. And when I say evangelism, I really mean engage in your light shining brighter than it's ever shone before. Because even if you try to pass out a tract, if you try to pass out, even if you try to talk to people and the light is not on and the light is not shining, it will not affect them. It takes the anointing of God to affect people. Hallelujah. And that anointing of God is going to rest upon those whose lights are shining for Jesus Christ, because you are on fire. Hallelujah. For the kingdom of God, because you realize at any moment any soul could suddenly turn to Jesus Christ. Ooh, hallelujah. See, most of the time we don't think of evangelism that way. We think of evangelism as doing this or doing this or doing this or doing this. But evangelism is the fire of God burning within our own soul that we just have to go share with someone else. Whether we pass out a track, the fire still got to be burning or the track will be no good. Woo, hallelujah. They've got to see something in us that makes them want to read it. Well, I've seen it time and time again. They look at it. Throw it in the trash. But what do they do when they look at you? What do they do when they encounter you? How do you affect them? Have you got such a draw in your desire that they sense that? A concern for them? Do they sense that? Are you just fulfilling the duty? Hello. You see, because everything about it is going to happen suddenly. You're just never going to know when it's going to happen. And God's going to bring a soul. I know. I've heard testimonies here of how different things have transpired, and you never dreamed your neighbors would come ask for prayer. Suddenly. Lord, suddenly. Never dreamed such and such would show up in church suddenly. Never thought about Liz Toddy coming to revival a year ago suddenly. Here she sits a year later now. This time, she's in to stay. Suddenly. Suddenly. Because she's realizing now, this is the only way there's going to be any help. This is the only way there's going to be any difference. This is the only way there's going to be any power for transformation for somebody else. Is if I let God transform me. And that is preparation for suddenly. Wow. I mean, if you're wanting to be a light to shine wherever you go, wherever you work, you're going to have to get some preparation going on. You're going to have to find yourself in the presence of God. You're going to find yourself in the power of God. You're going to find yourself, your faith being increased. I mean, preparation's got to go on if you want to see suddenly. Ooh, glory to our God. Sister Pepper, would you come back to the piano? Malachi started with the promise that he was suddenly going to come to his temple. We know the book of Revelation says, "Behold, I come quickly." But Jesus gave this understanding that it's going to be sudden. In an hour, you think not. That doesn't mean you don't know he's coming. That just means you know when he does come, he's not going to start saying, "All right, I'm 1,000 miles away. All right, I'm coming now into the atmosphere of the earth. Okay, now here in about 5 minutes, I'm going to be to the position where the trumpet's going to sound. And okay, now here it comes. We're down 10, 9, 8, 7. No, no. He's not going to give forewarning other than what he's already given. He says, I am coming. And I am coming suddenly. Let preparation begin. Hallelujah. You can call it preparation or you can call it preservation. Either one. Hallelujah. Because it's the same thing. I'm going to stay saved to the coming of Jesus, that I'm going to have to prepare for the coming of Jesus. I'm going to have to be aware. I'm going to have to be alert. I'm going to have to be wise to the tactics of the enemy. I'm going to have to be wise to the lies of the enemy. I'm going to have to be wise to the enemy loves to attack my mind. And I'm going to have to stay my mind upon the Lord and the righteous ways of my God. Because suddenly a soul will be saved. Suddenly a body will be healed. Suddenly. Oh, my mind just starts running through the scriptures of that day. Thinking about that day that Jesus is walking down the road and here comes a funeral procession. Just a minute. Suddenly. Arise. That wasn't premeditated. That wasn't pre-planned. That was the Spirit of God saying, here's an opportunity to glorify your name. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Let's prepare, church, for suddenly. God's not been moving in this house the way he's been moving for no reason. Preparation's going on. Preparation's going on. Because I feel like there's some suddenly coming our way. Coming our way. Hallelujah. That's going to astound us. Hallelujah. But it's not going to stifle us. No, it's just like Sister Sarah said. It seems like the closer you get, the more you want of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you start seeing some suddenly happen in your life, you're going to get hungry for some more of it. And you're going to keep in the preparation process. You're going to keep in that altar of prayer. You're going to keep in that attitude of praise. You're going to keep into that attitude of unity and one mind, one accord, seeking the will of God and wanting God to have his way with me. Hallelujah. Here am I, Lord. Here am I, God. Use me. What's that, Lord? I got to change some things so you can use me? Yes. Show me the way. Because I want to see suddenly. Let's stand. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's just the way of our God. It's just the way he loves to operate. Hallelujah. And we've just walked through the Word of God here of just times that he's done that. But you realize he's done it time and time and time and time again. That's how he moves. That's how he works. Suddenly. Let's come. Find a place to pray. Hallelujah. Let's keep up the preparation process. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you. We praise you, God. We thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah.